Grace is bestowed on every Christian believer at the point of spiritual conversion. But maturing in grace requires a lifetime journey. Along the way, the plot of our lives takes some twists and turns we never saw coming, including disappointments, suffering, and sometimes tragedy. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that deploying grace in these lowest moments is one of the sweetest experiences in life. Through it all, God is faithfully working His agenda for His glory. Chuck titled today's message, Bringing Grace Up Close. And we begin with prayer.
There are times, our Father, when we have simply groanings that cannot be uttered. We have all expressed them, not in a church service, but sitting in our own homes, as we've watched with our mouths open, staring in disbelief. I'm reminded of the prophet's words that the Lord has His way in the whirlwind, and the storms and the clouds are but the dust of His feet. In some mysterious way, You work. This isn't the result of Mother Nature or global warming. This is again a reminder of the power that is unleashed. And You, as our sovereign God, we turn to You. We are, as so many in the days of the Scriptures, at a loss to explain it, unable to find reasons, and yet we're cast upon You. And in times like this, I've observed You don't expect answers from us. You expect submission. We submit to You. We submit to You that we are wholly dependent upon You for survival. Give grace, Lord. Give strength. Give protection. Give wisdom. Find in us hearts that are touched with the feelings of the needs and infirmities of others. Remind us over and over and over again that it's by Your grace we are able to make it. Give comfort to those who grieve the loss of those they loved. Bring families back together. Bring them closer than they've ever been. Heal wounds that have perhaps gone on too long. Wounds of broken relationships. Bring hope where there is not right now hope. And bring the reminder that we are, when we are still, able to learn who You are. Be still and know that I am God. It is our privilege to have a job. We realize that now, today, more than we have in years. What a privilege to have an occupation. What a privilege it is to make a wage, a salary, to earn a living. What a privilege it is to have a healthy body, to be able to move about, healthy minds, be able to think, good eyesight. And hearing. Many are disabled. Many have become disabled. We hold them up as well. We realize, our Father, that a church earns its right to be called that in its compassion. Nothing is more Christ-like than where we find ourselves today. And as we participate, remind us that our Savior did that for 3.5 years, all the while misunderstood, maligned, ultimately crucified. May we do it not for the credit or the glory. May we do it because it is right. We worship You today, our Father, now with our offerings. You own it all. If it weren't for You, we would have nothing. And so may we today be reminded of that as we, with generous hearts, give twice. Now for the needs of this ministry, and then as we leave for the needs of those who can't take care of their own needs. Find us pleasing to you in our motive as we focus upon the wideness of your mercy, like the wideness of the sea. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Bringing Grace Up Close.
I want to turn to four somewhat familiar sections of Scripture and then land on three others. First, Romans chapter 8, if you'll turn there to begin with. You'll find in these four verses I want to read for you four words that are worth underscoring. Romans 8, verse 28 is a verse most every Christian knows. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Don't misread it. All things are not good. He's saying all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's another word for agenda. It's another word for goal. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ. There it is. Conformed. God's purpose for His children is that we be conformed or made like Christ. Turn now to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His, here's the word to underscore, workmanship. For we are His, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. This has in mind workmanship, God's masterpiece. Next book is Philippians, stop at chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, 6. So He began His work in you, now the word, He will perfect it. Underscore that term. He will perfect it, and it will be ultimately perfected at the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. This word means to complete. We are God's masterpiece. We are being conformed to the image of Christ, and that project will be completed. Now, there's one more word in the next book, Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. This is the word renewed. Look at verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its practices. Now that you have laid aside the way you used to live when you were a slave to sin, put on the new self. Please notice, a process is taking place where you and I are being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Again, underscore the word renewed. It's in the present tense, which means it is going on day after day. God's goal, simply stated, to make us like Christ. What's involved in it? Three things. Three things are involved in the process of becoming like Christ. Number one, time. It takes time. No one is instantly mature. Second, it includes pain. Never met anybody who grew up in Christ without pain. Third, it certainly requires change. Time, pain, change. Here's the equation. Time mixed with pain leads to change equals Christ-likeness. The whole point of my message today is that it takes grace to get there, because time and pain and change create within everybody personal struggles. Now then, in order to address the struggles, I found three sections of Scripture where grace is involved in each one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the first. So if you will, go back now to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and with me, land on verse 6. 1 Corinthians 15 is a chapter on resurrection from start to finish, but right in the middle of it, Paul gets personal in his testimony. I love it that he does it, and I love the term he uses in describing himself. Before we read the passage, let me explain the first struggle, and it is, for many, a lifelong struggle. It is a struggle with insecurity and inferiority. They go together. Now, on the subject of resurrection, the apostle is saying in verse 6 how the Lord Jesus appeared to a large number of people shortly after coming back from the grave. Verse 6. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Most of them remain until now, meaning most of the 500 are still alive. But some have fallen asleep. A few of them have died. He goes on. Then he appeared to James. Then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also, for I'm the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. This is not false humility, men and women. This is true. What he's saying is that I was in my lost estate, totally void of spiritual life. Then how could he become who he was? Verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. The secret to this is claiming the grace to be what I am. Write it down. Claiming the grace to be what I am. People who live with inferiority and insecurity, the damage of the past, their own self-image sort of spoiled, ruined, even broken, perhaps they feel beyond repair, have not grasped the grace of God. Grace gives you a new foundation that you stand on. It gives you a new security you do not have in yourself. When you bring grace up close and personal like that, you can know a life of security and confidence. But it isn't in yourself, it's in Christ. Now, that sounds like a great deal. All I got to do is believe in Christ and boom, I'm secure, I'm confident, I'm walking a life of victory. Wait, there's more. There's more. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there's suffering. I told you we'd come back to it, and chapter 12 brings us 2 Corinthians chapter 12, back to part of Paul's testimony. Remember, he's being conformed, he's being perfected, he's being renewed. Now we're going to see the value of affliction. Verse 7, chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. What does that mean? Listen closely. In the days before the Bible was a complete record, God revealed himself apart from Holy Scripture. This revelation is called here simply Revelations. It's not the book of Revelation. This is extra-biblical, divine revealing of truth. Following Paul's conversion, he spent time in Arabia for 3 years during the time of solitude and obscurity and aloneness. God revealed to him revelations regarding grace, regarding the church, regarding his plan for the future. I mean, how marvelous would that be? Paul even says, I was caught up in the third heaven where I received this revelation. That appears in the early part of this same chapter. Well, now think how proud you could be over that. I mean, he's got information nobody on earth has. Talk about information being powerful. He could have put his thumbs under his suspenders and sort of strutted around saying, I know things nobody on earth knows. Knowing that that's a possibility, the Lord took care of it with a thorn. Verse 7, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to torment me, he repeats, to keep me from exalting myself. I hear the breaks. Everybody thinks, okay, Chuck, what's the thorn? I don't know. Now let's go on. The Greek word means a sharp stake, S-T-A-K-E, a sharp penetrating object. Could have been some terrible migraine that plagued him. Could have been a hunchback that brought him emotional pain. Probably not that. It could have been a disease like malaria that revisited him at crucial moments of his ministry, which brings with it headache. Probably it was some form of eye disease, ophthalmia. No one can say for sure. But it affected his eyesight, and it brought him stinging, piercing, penetrating pain through the rest of his life. Anyone who suffered like that knows you become humbled under that. You submit finally. You realize you're not able to handle life as you thought you could. Pain reduces us to trusting God. It happened for Paul. Verse 8, concerning this, I implored the Lord, that means he prayed, 3 times that it might leave me. I've heard people say, if you really trust God, you only have to ask him once. Well, Paul did it 3 times, so that's hogwash. You can ask the Lord as many times as you wish. Finally, he'll let you know that it's time to stop. But you may not be told that. So you keep asking for relief. You keep praying for relief from this pain that you're going through. And the Lord said to him, as Paul kept coming, the Lord kept saying, no, no, no. In fact, the Lord added more. Verse 9, he is capitalized, meaning God. God said to me, my grace, here's that word again. My grace is sufficient for you. Sufficient for what? For you to handle the pain. Sufficient to get across the message that you're to walk humbly with your God. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. And then he adds, power is perfected in weakness. And Paul's response, wonderfully, is, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. What a response. As fine a statement of a great attitude as you'll ever read in the Scriptures. Now, this has to do with claiming the grace to admit that I am weak. Write that down. Claiming the grace to admit I am weak. Early on in my ministry, I had not learned this, and I was not in the process of learning it on a fast track. The Lord did a number of things in my life to reduce me to realizing the truth of it. On one occasion, as a younger preacher, I lost my voice, and so I decided I would preach while whispering. And so I didn't realize that's the worst possible thing I could do for my voice. But I went ahead and did it, and I barely got through the message, and it was a complete flop. And I remember leaving and driving real fast to get home so nobody would talk to me afterwards. To my surprise, that message became one of the most requested of all messages. I don't know how many people said, I finally understood what you were trying to say. It's the finally part that reduces you a little. I got the message. In fact, it was requested in the tape ministry of that church. They wanted to hear it over and over. Why? Because I was weak. And a very powerful message came through. That's Paul's comment. That's why he says in verse 10 what he does. Therefore, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions, and difficulties, and hurricanes, and floodings, and heartbreaking moments, and the lack of food, and not enough water, I'm content because I've learned when I'm weak, there's strength I would not otherwise have. Listen to Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. It's really worth a hearing. Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he did, in fact, was push me to my knees. No danger, then, of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that. And then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weaknesses. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. How great is that? When you bring the grace up close and personal in times of suffering and pain, you're not afraid to admit that you're weak. You stop all nonsense of trying to make a great impression. Guys, you don't have to wear platform shoes. You don't have to wear power ties. You don't have to bathe in some exotic shaving aftershave lotion or cologne. You don't have to flash a $20,000 rich wristwatch. You don't have to come across like a cross between Arnold and Donald. You don't have to do that. That doesn't help. Why? Because you're trying to promote yourself. Just admit you're struggling. Admit your weakness. Say when you're wrong, I'm wrong. Say when you're over your head, I'm over my head. Say when you don't know, I don't know. Say when you're afraid, I'm afraid. Paul tells the Corinthians, when I came to you, I didn't come in strength. I came in weakness and fear and trembling. That's not the common picture people have of Paul. He came in fear and weakness and trembling. Stop and go back to his track and you'll see he had just come out of Athens where there was no great revival. And he left defeated. And he got to, of all places, the fast city of Corinth. And he knew he hadn't produced in Athens. And he thought, what in the world can I do here? And he established a church there that survived for years in weakness, claiming the grace to admit that I am weak.
Well, we're just midway through a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Bringing Grace Up Close. There's much more teaching ahead, so please keep listening as the Grace Awakening series continues. To hear any portion of this study again, you can find it online at insightworld.org. Today, as Chuck described Paul's struggle to balance grace and humility, maybe you found yourself thinking about someone who needs a touch of grace from you. Well, our staff thoughtfully selected a couple of messages from Chuck that clearly describe how to treat others, even difficult people, in a manner that demonstrates our biblical values. This 2-CD set is called Balancing Grace with Love. We believe the countercultural wisdom in this miniseries will help you. And you can purchase the 2 CDs right now by going to insight.org/store. This is our mission at Insight for Living Ministries, to help listeners around the world understand the grace of God. And when you give generously to this nonprofit ministry, you're making it possible for others to embrace this message of grace just as you have. So thank you for doing your part in spreading the good news, not only here at home, but into all 195 countries of the world. To invest in this global ministry right now, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Not long ago, a friend left a brief message on social media that said, Chuck, your teaching on the Grace Awakening freed me from legalism. And another person wrote, "Chuck, your laughter, which is close to a belly laugh sometimes, diffuses a lot of tension in my home." Well, remember, when you give to Insight for Living, you're touching the lives of people you'll likely never meet, in places you'll likely never travel. But God is using your generosity. So to support this ministry with a donation right now, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org/donate. Treat yourself to a vacation you'll never forget on the Insight for Living Ministries cruise to the Great Frontier with Chuck Swindoll.
Honestly, I had no idea that a cruise to Alaska could be so much fun. And without a doubt, the stunning views took my breath away.
God's artistic genius is on full display in Alaska. In fact, I guarantee this, you'll come home refreshed and filled with awe for His majestic creation.
Yeah, at one point our ship was getting chased by dolphins. They were playing and spinning in the waves. It was amazing.
You'll have plenty of time for adventures on shore, lingering conversations around mealtime, and strolling through the idyllic ports of call. And this will be memorable because it will be in celebration of our 40th anniversary at Insight for Living Ministries.
The dates are June 29 through July 6, 2019. To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events. The tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to listen again Wednesday as Chuck Swindoll continues his classic series, The Grace Awakening, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Bringing Grace Up Close, was copyrighted in 2005, 2013, and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.